the Fade the Noise podcast with Brad Evans and Nate Lundy.
Place your bets. Brad the Big Noise Evans here, joined by the good sir, Nathaniel Lundy. This is the Fade the Noise podcast. It's the last week of February, Lundy, which means March is right around the corner, the best and greatest month of the entire sports betting year. As March Madness will soon be getting underway, Selection Sunday, all of the activities surrounding that, I will be in Vegas blowing my bankroll probably within the first 24 hours. I'll probably start wagering NIT games, you know, because that's kind of the appetizer to the main course until you get to Tuesday, Wednesday, then you have the playing games, they have more wagering, and then by the time Thursday rolls around, I'm probably already hitting the ATM.
Oh, yeah. No, that'll be exactly what you're doing. See, if I were there, I would start to pivot to NCAA baseball.
That is going on, isn't it?
It is. It absolutely is. If I recall, my Oregon State Beavers, very good at college baseball, by the way. I think they won their first game 21-1, I think is what
goodness.
It was. So,
is that a mercy rule?
Well, you would think they would install something like that. I mean, I know that, you know, these kids are in college, but I still think some of the youth rules should apply to some of these teams,
Brad. Get it over with already. We got to go to the bar.
But that's exactly what I would be doing. Obviously, in the midst of all the March Madness, I would be betting on hockey as well as I always do. But I think I would lean – I'd then pivot to something completely out of the blue in the hopes that maybe it would change my luck.
Harness racing. Guaranteed to happen. Because all you got to wager is like $5 and you get a free drink ticket at some of the sportsbooks that are out there. So I will do some intrepid sleuthing while I am on campus at one of the fine MGM resorts and find out what exactly is required to procure a drink ticket in the horse racing arts. With that, Lundy, let's talk about the player of the year front runners right now in the world of college basketball. And no, there are no Oregon State Beavers on this list. But I think the best
shocking.
I think the best value on the board remains Johnny Davis at 6-1 odds. Pull that one from DraftKings Sportsbook. And, you know, this number is really shrunk. I mean, before the season began, nobody knew who the hell Johnny Davis was. But he has been a breakout sensation this season for the Wisconsin Badgers, a guy that's averaging over 20 points per game, indispensable to that club, which you know, has largely been road warriors. And, of course, we had the kerfuffle, the fisticuffs, the pugilism that was very petty in Madison over the weekend. Juwan Howard getting suspended for the rest of the Big Ten regular season, and Greg Gard suffering a modest fine for his involvement. But thankfully, Johnny Davis wasn't in the center of that action and did not throw any punches at all. But he is indispensable to this team. And according to KenPom.com's Player of the Year ratings, he's number 6 on the board in terms of overall efficiency, trailing Oscar Tshiebwe of Kentucky, Drew Timmy of Gonzaga, Chet Holmgren of the Zags, E.J. Liddell of Ohio State, and fellow Big Ten sharpshooter Keegan Murray of Iowa. But when the dust settles, you know, even if Wisconsin doesn't hoist the hardware in the Big Ten, and right now they're in a 3-dog race with Illinois and also with Purdue to get the regular season title, I think Johnny Davis is going to garner a ton of votes from the media. So are you with me on Johnny Davis at 6-1 odds to win the Wooden Award? Do you like somebody a little bit better that could be a finer value on the board?
No, I mean, I think 6-1 is pretty damn good value. And I think, you know, you're more the bracketologist than I am, Brad. You know that. We've talked about it here on the pod before. Some of me has wondered whether or not, what Johnny Davis is doing and the way that he's been playing is fantastic. But part of me also wonders if some of the reason why somebody like him is sort of, you know, this horse at the back of the pack that all of a sudden is racing up to the front and getting attention is because we don't have that one singular dominant team right now. That's because sometimes the Wooden Award, sometimes these year-end awards wind up going kind of like they do in pro sports to teams that are doing really well. And you've got Gonzaga right there, but oh well, wait a minute, now KU's playing a little bit good. Yeah. And oh well, what about what Wisconsin's doing? What? And so I think we have a lot of whatabouts going on with the teams, and I think it's allowed him to come, you know, quote unquote, out of nowhere and be somebody that's worthy of a really, really strong look for this award.
Yeah, I mean, Oscar Tshiebwe is leading the pack right now, -120. No way in hell.
And he should be.
Yeah, well, he should be, but it's not that definitive, right? In my estimation, I think it is a mishmash right now, and it's razor blade thin. You can make an argument for any of these guys. Keegan Murray at 6-1 of Iowa, who I mentioned. Ochai Agbaji, as you know, with your wife being a diehard and absolutely crazed Kansas fan. He's plus 650. Chet Holmgren's there at 16-1. And Benedict Mathurin of Arizona is at 18-1. I mean, even though there is a wide gap in those odds, I can't go in and say slam dunk, Oscar Tshiebwe is going to win this thing. So, look, it's going to come down this home stretch these next couple of weeks and heading in to the postseason on who will win the Wooden Award, one of the tightest races in my mind that we have seen in quite some time. And with that, let's get to it on this hashtag Taco Tuesday. Let's add a little extra spice with another Fade 5.
Number 5.
All right, Lottie, we took President's Day off. You had to recover from your post-birthday weekend activities. Hopefully your liver is functional and your brain cells are firing at their normal pace. But let's drop the puck and make some bucks in the NHL. Pick numero uno on the ice tonight. What is it, my man?
Well, you know, Brad, as we continue to have these kind of birthdays, we get older and older, and frequently the words "let's get wild" don't really come up as we get older. Yep. You know, it's more like you know, you look at your watch; it's 9:45. You're like, "Yeah, I'm pretty good. I could just crash right now."
Yep.
But tonight we will get wild. The Minnesota Wild traveling to take on the Ottawa Senators. Now, Minnesota has gone through a stretch where they looked really good. Like, looked like, okay, this is a playoff team. This is a squad that's going to be tough for somebody to deal with in the playoffs. Then over the course of the last five games, they've only gone 3-2. So not only is their record a little off compared to what they've been doing, they're inconsistent between their scoring and their defense. But one of the things that may help them out is, in fact, taking on Ottawa, because they rank in the bottom 10 in goals that they score per game, as well as one of the stats that I like to look at, which is expected goals for the squad. So it's looking at what kinds of opportunities they've got. Can they actually take advantage of them, or are they missing out on maybe what should have been a scoring chance? So I'm going to take Minnesota. The trick, though, with this is that I'm going to go with Minnesota on the 60-minute line, because we've got a lot of lopsided games tonight. That's still going to put it at a minus 150, but that is a heck of a lot better than if we go to the straight game line, which is a minus 230. So Minnesota in regulation, minus 150 tonight at Ottawa.
Let's get wild. Yeah, pay up at that minus 150. Sounds like it's going to be worth it.
Number 4.
All right, Lundy, back to checking the books into the boards. NHL pick numero dos. What you got on this Taco Tuesday?
Let's do another one. Let's go St. Louis Blues this time. They are in the city of brotherly love. They will take on the Flyers. This is one I actually was reading some various folks. There's a lot of folks that I like to follow out there in social media that talk about hockey, talk about their picks. And one of my favorite lines I saw this morning, and I wish I could remember who said it because I'd like to give them credit. It said, don't overthink this one. And that's because St. Louis should be able to handle Philadelphia with relative ease. Now, I will say St. Louis is not fantastic on the road. Their home and road splits are very dynamic in terms of the difference. They are much better at home than they are on the road. So as much as I would like to take St. Louis on the puck line and actually have them win this one by two or more goals, because that would get me to a plus 105, I don't trust them to not wind up allowing a goal late to Philly and making this closer than it should be. So it's another 60-minute line that we're going to roll with the Blues. We go with a minus 145. So again, I know those are juiced up a little bit. Maybe you decide you want to put pick number one and pick number two together. Both of those on the 60-minute line. If that's the direction that you want to go, you can get yourself a nice plus 181. But my recommendation is go with each of them individually. Maybe pair it up with one of Brad's college basketball picks today, a little cross sport, something like that. But we're going to take the Blues, and then we're going to cross our fingers that St. Louis doesn't completely screw us, which they've done a couple of times in the last couple of weeks.
Oh, a St. Louis screwing. That is bound to occur.
Number 3.
All right, let's move on to the world of college basketball. Man, do we have a delightful slate on this Tuesday. And let's go out west. And, you know, one of the hottest races out there in major college basketball, the Big Ten, first and foremost. Most of the other, you know, high major conferences have already been decided, except for the Mountain West, where you have several teams compacted near the top and a lot of marquee matchups here heading down the home stretch, which ultimately determine who will be crowned champion. Well, tonight is one of those pivotal contests. San Diego State traveling to Idaho to take on Boise State. And I'm going to roll with the Aztecs here, Lundy, at plus 2.5 at minus 110. at BetMGM. Now, both of these teams' calling cards are playing unrelenting defense. San Diego State, number one in the country in just the defensive efficiency. Boise State, number two in the Mountain West in that category and inside the top 10 on the national circuit. Now, turnovers have been an issue at times for the Aztecs, so they have to clean up that part of the game. But this is going to be rock'em sock'em robots to the tee because both these teams play at a slow, calculated, and methodical pace. As San Diego State, number 298 in the country in adjusted tempo. Boise State, number 303 in that category. But still, San Diego State, they've been road warriors this season, particularly on the defensive end. That usually travels nicely for them, giving up just 44.6% inside the arc. And Boise, with Armas, usually feasts around the rim, netting 55% from two at home in Mountain West Conference play. So, you know, unless Shaver and Acott and Deegan Hart, those guys are really lighting up from outside, I think the Aztecs are going to score the cover, and I think, yar, Captain Hook is going to come into play in a game that's going to come down to the final buzzer. So fade or follow San Diego State plus 2.5 at Boise State minus 110 at BetMGM.
Ooh, man, I'm going to start off the short week here, Brad, with a fade. I think Boise State manages to cover this one. The favorites covered 7 out of the last 9 times they played. And you talked about their pace of play, by the way.
Yeah.
Brad didn't mention this, or at least maybe I nodded off and he didn't mention it. When these two teams played earlier this season, 42-37. That was the final.
I watched that game. I remember.
Yes.
Cities were built with the bricks late.
Yes. That was the final, folks. That wasn't the score at halftime. That was the final. Boise State won it by 5, 42-37. I feel, Brad, that this is going to be along the same lines. I feel like this is a 4 or 5 point game, and I'm going to give the edge to Boise State. Would it surprise me if the Aztecs covered? No, not at all, because this has turned into an absolute dogfight in the Mountain West because you've got teams that win. Oh, what a great and then they turn around and lose.
Yeah.
And that's what's been happening right now. You know, you get CSU that picks up a big win, then they turn around and lose. You get Wyoming that picks up a big win. They are now in the driver's seat, but they still have a really tough schedule left. So I'm going to fade you on this one. I think Boise State wins it, but I think it's going to be really damn close. I'm calling for a 4-point win for the Broncos.
Oh, it's going to be tizzite. Don't let me down, Brian Dutcher and your San Diego State Aztecs. Stay tuned for my top picks of the day in college basketball, plus bonus time in the NHL, and of course, more college hoops.
Number two.
All right, let's get back and rock the rim here in college basketball, and let's go to Iowa City. And you got two teams heading in opposite directions. The Iowa Hawkeyes climbing, especially coming off the high of taking down Ohio State on the road in Columbus to secure their first quadrant one win of the season, and a timely one at that. And they're going up against Sparty, which is not really throwing much of a party unless you're the opposition. Then you're definitely getting your groove on, as Michigan State has dropped 4 of their last 6 games. And I'm not going to, you know, focus so much on the game total, which is at 153.5, or Iowa minus 6.5. But I do like the Hawkeyes to get over on the 80.5 points team total against Tom Izzo's Michigan State team. Now, you look at Iowa, a team that could certainly fill up the cup. Since February 1st, no team in college basketball has posted a higher offensive efficiency rating at 1.237 points per possession scored. They've also netted 38.7% from way downtown over that stretch. Meanwhile, Michigan State, in their last 6 games, and again, they've lost 4 of those, they rank number 212 in the country in effective field goal percentage defense, and their turnovers have been very problematic throughout the entire year. Since February 1st, number 259 in the nation in offensive turnover rate. So if they and have some of those self-inflicted wounds, Iowa, Keegan Murray and company get those quick sprint outs, knowing the brisk pace that Fran McCaffrey's club relishes, I think Iowa hangs at least 81 on them. I know this is a high number, but both these teams like to fly up and down the court. And given the prowess offensively of the Hawkeyes, old Mount Fran, yeah, he won't be smoldering tonight. He actually might be smiling for once on the sidelines there in Iowa City. So fade or follow Iowa over 80.5 team total points against Michigan State minus 110 at DraftKings.
Is Fran allowed to smile?
Like,
is
Dude, it he smiled the last game. Now, it's rare that you see it on camera. I bet he smiles a couple of times over the course of a game. But every time they usually do the cutaways, you know, the face reddens. And then it's just a bunch of F-bombs just repeatedly. It's like, you know, turn on the spigot at its highest volume and it just spewing out. But he smiled the last time out. He was giddy about the win at Ohio State, understandably so.
He's basically Bill Belichick. that's what we've realized. I'm going to follow on this one because I think that it's going to come down to the points off the turnovers. I want to see them get the points in transition. That's what Iowa's going to need to be able to get up above this. If they can force the turnovers but then turn it into quick buckets, that's what's going to lead to being able to get over this 80.5. Because if you look at their last nine games, they've only gone over this total three times, and one of those they needed overtime to be able to do it. That was the game against Penn State. Other than that, they beat this total going up against Maryland and Nebraska. The opponents have been generous when the opponents suck. Other than that, Iowa's got to be able to force these turnovers, get Michigan State into transition that they can take advantage of. I think they can. I agree with you. First time these teams have played now in over a year. So I'm looking forward to this one tonight. Nice game in the Big Ten. Let's get them up over this 80.5.
Run, Hawkeyes, run!
Number one.
All right, let's go to the SEC, my man, and a mammoth matchup here. Not so much for the visiting team, but certainly for the ones trying to defend home court. And they're coming off of climbing a summit and holding home court against the number one seed projected Auburn Tigers. And, of course, I'm talking about the Florida Gators, who right now, latest version of the bracket big board, one of my first four teams out of the dance. Only a couple of marquee wins on the resume. They certainly could use another one, and this would qualify as a quadrant one based on Arkansas's recent stellar play. However, I think the Razorbacks are going to score the victory in this one, and I'm going to lay the Un Pinto minus one on the must bus. Going to drive into Gainesville and get a W. Minus 110 at DraftKings. Look, Arkansas has been shut down defensively here over the last month and a half. Since January 12th, they are number one in the country, Lundy, in adjusted defensive efficiency, giving up just 0.820 points per possession, and number two overall, according to the Bart Torvik metrics. That's how high of a level that this Razorbacks team has played at. Also over that stretch, giving up just 42.4% inside the arc and only 26.3% outside of it. In SEC play, the Gators have really struggled splashing from outside, shooting only 29.7%, and defensively they're middling, number seven in the SEC in adjusted defensive efficiency. I think this is a letdown game for Florida, and I think there's really good value on this line because people are, you know, getting intoxicated by the recency bias from that last high-level performance in knocking off Auburn. So fade or follow, Arkansas gets a critical road victory, minus one at Florida, minus 110 at DraftKings.
Oh, this is a tough one. I mean, at this point, why are we even bothering with the minus one? Why don't we just go ahead and money line this bad boy?
Because the odds are not nearly as good. The Jews are going to have to pay up. It's like minus 120 on the money line. You might as well just take it to the minus one and you get a minus 110.
All right. I will follow on this one. I do think there's some recency bias playing into this one. I would agree with you in that one. I think Arkansas is, their record would tell you this, but so would the eye test. They're just a better team. They're better than Florida. Florida got themselves a nice recency. You know, oh, look at how nice. Look at the little nice Gators. Yeah, well, Arkansas is going to beat them up. I really do. I think Arkansas wins this one, and I think they actually may win it, Brad, by 4 or 5 points. I mean, I don't think the minus one's going to even come into a play unless they're missing free throws down the stretch.
Yeah, definitely. Look, that game is going to come down the final moments. Make no bones about it. And look, this is going to be a stellar night of college basketball. Oh, and we ain't done yet. It's bonus time! Lottie, what else you got on your betting card?
Let's go with a handful more of the hockey picks for you. We already talked about Minnesota and St. Louis taking those two teams in regulation. So, I'm feeling frisky. Let's go with two more that we can take in regulation to be able to bring some of the juice down. Because, like I said, we do have some heavy favorites tonight. On the 60-minute line, give me, speaking of Florida, give me the Florida Panthers at home taking on Nashville. Take Florida on the regulation on the 60-minute line as well. And do the same thing out west, late-night hockey, Anaheim. If you take Anaheim on the 60-minute line, taking on the San Jose Sharks, a little battle there of California, that actually drops Anaheim down to a minus 105. So four different in regulations that I like. If you want to get a little bit frisky, just a little bit frisky, it was my birthday weekend. It's a little bit frisky. I'll take Columbus plus the 1.5 against Toronto. I don't know why. It's a TYG special. Trust your gut. I just think Columbus is going to keep that one close. Could even win it outright, but I'm going to take them plus the 1.5. And Brad, I might have to whisper this pick because I'm in the home studio this morning and the wife is still here. I will take K-State plus the points.
Yeah, you want to keep that on the down low. No question about it. Wielding a butcher knife.
Here's the thing. The Jayhawks are winning, Brad, but they're not covering.
No.
They're not.
No.
It's been crazy with KU. They're picking up the wins, but when they have been a big-time favorite, they are letting teams hang around.
And it's a rivalry game.
And it's a rivalry game. It's K-State. So, I like I said, I'm going to keep it kind of like, shh. Don't tell anybody, but I'm going to roll with that, and then I'm going to cross my fingers that she doesn't listen to today's pod.
Good call. Let me go ahead and get back to more college basketball. I have way too many games that I've wagered on. I'm just looking at my card right now, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, I got a lot of open tickets right now. Let's go with Texas Tech on the over, 70.5 points on the team total, minus 110 at DraftKings. We're taking on Oklahoma. Tech has been over every home game on this team total. The lowest that they have posted this season was 72 against Iowa State. We know they really get after with the second chances with Williams and O'Banner and Adonis Arms, one of the best names in college basketball. And they're also taking 1.179 points per possession at home. That's the sixth best rate for any team in their friendly confines in college basketball. Oklahoma, meanwhile, number 311 in NCAA hoops and effective field goal percentage defense on the road. So great matchup there, and they will continue to cruise to another easy victory and plunge another dagger in the profile of the Oklahoma Sooners of the postseason. I'm going to take the under on Villanova, 67.5 points of the team total. A little too rich for my blood. At UConn, UConn at home this season, giving up just 38.7% inside the arc and 0.947 points per possession overall. Sanogo and Martin are going to be a matchup problem for a Villanova front court, which is just subpar. Now, Nova, 8-4 away this season. They played well on the road and number 23 in offensive efficiency in those road matchups. But I think UConn will hold home court, get a victory. If you like a -2, I certainly don't hate it. But I don't think Villanova gets to 68 points. I think they finish in the low 60s overall. And last, but certainly not least, let's do a little for S's and G's. Six-leg money line parlay. How about that, Lundy? Give me Iowa to win straight up. Tennessee to handle business on the road against Missouri. St. Bonaventure to win at home against a bottomed out, Rhode Island team. Kent State at home against Ball State. Kent State has won nine straight games. Texas Tech, the aforementioned, and I will take Kansas to get the victory. They probably won't cover, but they'll win by single digits and at least handle the Wildcats there within Fog Allen. So, again, Iowa, Tennessee, St. Bonaventure, Kent State, Texas Tech, Kansas. All those guys win, plus 236.
Oh, man, you're going back to the St. Bonaventure well. I mean,
they're playing well at home, man.
And thank God you only took them on the – thank God you only took them on the money line, because that team has hosed up more tickets for me in the last month than I can count.
Well, Rhode Island's lost 8 of their last 9. And St. Bonaventure's going in the opposite direction. They're at home. All we need is them to win. I'm not saying they got to cover or whatever the line is, like 7.5, 8.
Thank
we just
God.
Need them to handle business straight up. They can win by a point. I don't care. Just get the W. That's all that's required.
That's all we need. Just a point.
Just
that's
a
all
point.
We need. Just the tip.
And, yeah, just to see how it feels. And that's a wrap on this edition of the Fade the Noise podcast. Please follow Lundy on Twitter at Nate Lundy. Follow me there at Noisy Huevos. Drop us a rating and a review if you enjoy this podcast. Would you kindly? And as always, until next time, feed or follow. That is up to you.
Fade the Noise.